important thing is having a desire to do the will of God.
Amen.
And God says He gives us our desires. He gives us our desires. And in other words, those desires change from us doing our will. And we start achieving those things that He's infusing into us. The title of our message is Courage Instilled by God. Something that's instilled is like when I was small, I keep telling you about my mother most of the time or whatever. But she instilled a lot of things into me. My father and my stepfather. In other words, character and certain things is molded into you. You could mold a work ethic into a child.
Yeah.
It says train up a child in the way that he should go and should not depart from it when he's older. Yeah. But if he departs, he gets back on that path. And what has happened, God had given the people His word in the book of Judges, the 6th chapter through the 8th chapter. We're talking about Gideon this morning. We're talking about him in insight of that we were in the book of Isaiah, the 8th chapter. And he told us to fear not, to not be fearful. Amen. The only thing that we should have a fear of, and that's of God.
Amen.
And that's a reverential fear. You know, in other words, it's a fear that's developed through a relationship. And the better and the more you understand God and the closer you understand God, you'll see that perfect love casted out all fear because, you know, everything He's doing for you is for your good.
Yeah.
Everything you're going through, the objective, the end, is to bring you closer to Him.
Yeah.
That's why Christ says, nevertheless, thy will be done, not my will. Because if that's what your purpose, if that's what I've come here to do, He laid down His life. So God says, I'm going to turn you over to murderers and let them destroy you.
Mm.
See, the instruction, that was key, though. It was God's word. All of this was done by God's word. It was through His word. That's where the power lies, is in the word of God.
Yeah.
And that's what we were looking at. Isaiah 11, 8 and 11 says, for the Lord thus spoke to me with a strong hand and instructed me that I should not walk in the way of this people. In other words, he had a deep impression that was onto Isaiah, as your parents used to tell you, don't follow those group of people there. Don't follow those kids there, whatever. See, because God can see things in other people. He can see things in society around us, and he tells us to come out from among that crowd. Don't do the same thing that they're doing.
Yes.
And so sometimes it takes courage to do that. See, a lot of people don't have courage enough not to follow a crowd. It takes courage to swim against the flow, against the stream. It takes courage to stand up when everybody else says, how's it going? You're going to church or this is Sabbath, Sunday. No. That's the first day of the week. We may be a small group of people or whatever, but God's word says, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath, and that's the seventh day. I created it that way. So what Gideon, this is about Gideon, they lost their way. They lost their direction. How do you lose your direction in life? By not taking heed to God's word. By not listening. That's how you lose your way in life, is by not honoring your parent by doing what they tell you, because they're supposed to instruct you in the ways of life. When you leave that beaten path, you've heard them say, stay on the beaten path. This is one that's been tried before. God has a path that He has you to walk down, and He directs you in that path. But when you say, I can go my way, I can do it myself, that creates a problem there. And let's look at Brother Gideon here, because this is something else that, now, like I said, God has to instill courage in you, but it's the material that you're working with. Now, see, God can make one lump this way, and He can make one lump another way. But notice that you always have to be aware and focused that it's the Spirit that working in you, and that you depending upon God for everything.
Yes.
It says in the book of Judges, the 6th chapter, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them, and they encamped against them, and they destroyed the increase of the earth till thou come unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep, nor ox, nor ass, nor, for they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites. And the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord had sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus says the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up from Egypt, and brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, and drave them out from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But ye have not obeyed my voice. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorite in whose land ye dwell. But ye have not obeyed my voice. Ye have not obeyed my voice. That's something else. If you study that, you'll see why they were in the predicament they're in. I've heard preachers preaching on this, and I tell you, well, the Old Testament there is there for our admonition, so we shouldn't look for a specific tribe of Midianites today, or Amalekites or anything. So we can look at this metaphorically or not. You know, this is, in other words, the Midianites could be anybody. It could be anything. It could be the Midianites, you know. That outside woman can be the Midianites. Your wife or your children could be the Midianites. That preacher, anything. Anything that come into your life and starts to eat at your life, the Midianites. God had given you, if you're a child of God, he had given you power and authority in this life. And we're free in him. We have liberty. He was telling you, Brother Parker was telling you about his home and everything. And he's able to afford where he is because God said, I'll give you their land. But now when you dwell in somewhere and the neighbor and the people that he knew, when you go and try to live somewhere you can't afford because God says, oh, no man for nothing. So now that you're living above your means, you're in a larger house, you're in a larger thing, that means you got to pay for that some kind of way. So to pay for that, you have to take a steal from others. The Midianites came in, they want to take that which others was working for. Israel was working and doing these things, and the Midianites just come in and take it. You know, a lot of times we talk about the Public Service Commission or whatever because it seemed like sometime energy or Gulf states, those rates change or whatever, and they just take your money. They take more than they should. Sometimes things inch into your life. The government, they tell you about taxes and everything, and it starts to take more than it's giving. And these are things God had blessed you with. Now, see, that's the world can be the Midianites, see, because that's cell phone. And like I said, this time of year, those who want to believe in Halloween and Christmas and all these holidays, these things God hadn't instructed us in, but those things can be the Midianites. You got to buy this child, this, that grandchild, that, the wife, this, and these other. Okay, now you didn't allow that to come in and take that God has blessed you with. He had given you substance, but now you got to rob the house of God to satisfy what the Midianites want.
Yeah.
They will start taking that from you that God had given you. So now you're going to have to go against the instructions of God to support the Midianites.
What'd you say?
And now you're in a fix here. You're in a pickle. And you working and striving. Let's continue to look at this. And it says, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak tree which was at Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash, the Azarite, Abazite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, oh my Lord, huh? Who are you talking to? Ooh. You know, here he is threshing wheat in the wine press. He should be up on the mountain or the hill or something where the wind couldn't blow away the chaff so that it could separate the wheat from the tares. But he got to hide in the wine press where they stomp grapes or something at so he can cheat that little bit he got. He was afraid of the Midianites. Here he is hiding. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. Who are you talking to? That wasn't him.
Yes.
That's how he saw himself. How did you see yourself? Do you see yourself less than the way God sees you? Because God sees you as the Son of God. He sees you as a completed product with all power and authority that was invested in him. He gives you that to you because you are an inheritor of God. We're no longer in darkness, so we shouldn't fear other men. He hadn't given us a spirit of fear. But you're working, and you got to get out there, and you got to work all week or something. But you got to hide your money in the back of your wallet or something so your wife won't see it. So somebody won't stand it on the corner and say, well, man, loan me $5 or $10. I know you got the money, and the more they see, I look like I heard you talking. You say, well, if he asks for five or ten, and he see you got 30 or 40 or just a wad of money, he say, look, can you loan me 20 instead of 10?
Yeah.
You know, he see because people... That Midianite wants what's not his.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So Gideon is hiding to keep what little bit of wheat he could. And God comes to him and says, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. And when he says that, Gideon said unto him, oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then has all this befallen us? And why all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianite. I wonder what Gideon must have not been a Bible scholar, huh? He must have been like a lot of people today that just come to church or out the street or whatever and know what God says. Everybody say Jesus died for them. But are you working in such a way that you believe he actually died for you?
Hello.
So you should be living a certain way if you believe what God had said. Now see, through all this thing, he could try to build up faith and courage in Gideon. And some people, though you get them there, you can't keep them there. If that desire to serve God, see, the reason David was able to last so long and keep it away because he was a man after God's own heart. He sought to please God. Do you have a desire to please God? Did you wake up this morning and say, thank you for me being in the land of the living. Thank you for giving me life and an opportunity to serve you today. And you hurried to get to church so you could hear the word of God. What thus said the Lord, so you could continue to serve that God. I don't know, though. Gideon asked that, why had it befallen him? Well, this should have been where Gideon looked for his answer. Those verses that I told you about, I read earlier, is that they had forsaken God. His people had forsaken God. He asked him, where all the miracles, if God be with us? See, a lot of times it's not that God is not with you, it's that you didn't left God. They tell the story of the man and the woman that when they got married, she used to, he had an old truck and he was driving along, and everywhere they go, that she would just be sitting right up there next to him, close, and he would be driving along. Everywhere they go, they would see him together or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then years later or whatever, and people would see him, and she's sitting by the window or whatever.
What
and Then she say, well, look, you don't love me no more. We're not as close as we used to be. He said, I'm sitting in the same place I was.
Yeah.
She was the one who had moved. She moved. She moved by the one. Now, God doesn't move. If we don't feel God is with us, we've moved. God doesn't move. He said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. He's right there. Now, you might have done something to hide his face from you, because God can't dwell in darkness. And if you're walking in darkness, God doesn't go in darkness. That's why Jesus asked, why have thou forsaken me? Because he was going into the grave. He was going into death. There's no darkness in God. There's nothing but light in God. No shadow of turning. God is consistently who he is. That's his nature. That's an attribute of beauty of God, that he is light. Okay? So, your iniquity separates you from God. I'm talking to you every day. Y'all come in, we conversing, and I'm meeting you every evening in the cool of the evening. And all of a sudden, I got to look for you or whatever. He said, Adam, where are you, Adam? He says, I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself. Oh, hold on now. Hold on. Wait. Who told you he was naked? See, because this thing didn't change. Why was he afraid? He had done something. You know, my little grandchild was at the house last night or whatever. But when they do something, they'll go hide in a corner or whatever. What makes you afraid is that you've done something that you shouldn't have done. You're afraid of the consequences for the wrong that you've done. He was afraid and had hidden from God. Why are you hiding from God? You know, some people, they spend God's money or whatever. They stop coming to church. You can't see them or whatever. A person, they'll stay away from around you. They know they owe you money or whatever. You don't have to tell them. They know you won't be to see them for a while. So the thing is, fear, when that spirit of fear comes in, and Gideon had that spirit of fear and looked like it had been nurtured a long while or whatever. But see, God is there for us, and he puts us in a condition, it's like when we're born again, he puts us in a justified state. He puts us in a condition free from sin, and he sets our feet on a solid rock. And all we have to do is continue his word, because his word washes us and cleanses us from all sin. We shouldn't continue in sin. But I've read that to you, and I have to come back to it. We said that the children of evil did evil in the sight of the Lord. So that Gideon's answer right there, he asks in verse 13, if the Lord, he says, and Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has this all befallen for me? Because you've done evil in God's sight. You disobeyed his word. You hadn't done what you're supposed to be doing. So, watch what kind of God we serve. It said that they cried out to God. Let me get to that verse way down here. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. If you're having a problem in your life, if you love God and you know you're a child of God, cry out to him. God hears prayers. See, but you got to first realize that you're not any good, that you're the cause of the problem. Confess your sin. Confess your wrong. And tell God to condition you. He knows where you're at. Yeah. But by confessing, that's the way God. If we read his word, a lot of people say, well, if he know, if God know everything. Yeah, but he hadn't designed it to where he says that he knows this in the case. No, he's designed it that you have not because you ask not. And the way you receive from God, the way you receive things from God, Jesus said, anything that you need, you ask the Father in my name.
Yes.
But see, you can't go asking anybody for something if you're in debt to that person already. If you already owe me $100, you're not really going to readily come ask me to loan you another $100, are you? If you're not doing what I asked you to do, see, there are certain qualifications that you can go ask a petition to make a loan or borrow or make a loan. That's why in 1 John, they say, we have the desire that we ask of him. We have those things, and we know when we pray for that we have it already. So doubting in it, not doubting you, because if you go into God doubting whether he could do it or not, well, that's not going to get through anyhow. We can't doubt God. We have to believe that he is a rewarder. We have the request and we ask of him. So John said we pray and we have the request that we petition him for, because Jesus had told us just to ask the Father. He had died so we could boldly go to the throne of grace at any time and ask in the name of Jesus, and that he'll give it to you. He said, now we know we have that because we do what? The will of God. We walk in his will. We do his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous unto us. So if I'm practicing the Sabbath and it's not hard, people say, well, how do you keep that? Well, how do you keep Sunday? It's hard for me to keep Sunday than it is Saturday, because God enabled me to keep it on the day he told me to keep it.
Yes.
So you trying to say it's so difficult to do it the way God says, huh? That's your argument? So when God answers prayer. Now, some things, they say, well, I prayed for this, and he didn't give it to me. You did, and God didn't give you what you was asking for. Let's see now. Let me search his word by being a student of the word. It says, study straight yourself approval. Why did you ask God for that? Well, man, I wanted a car. You asked for a car, and he didn't give it to me. Well, I asked for a Cadillac. Oh, no, you wanted a car of your own choosing. You didn't want transportation. You didn't want a way around. You wanted something to consume it up on your own. He said you ask and have not, and you receive not, because you ask to consume it up on your own lust. So now it's a preferential choice. You're not asking God for whatever you do. Huh? The end lies the problem. Let me get off here, because I'll never finish this sermon. I keep dawdling around on these little rabbit trails. But anyhow, that the prayer is being answered, and God answers prayer. So God sent a prophet, and this prophet came to him, and he was talking to him, and then God called Gideon. They were in bondage to the world and the things of the world, because they loved the world and the things of the world, and they were God's children. He said he had saved them from bondage in Egypt. But see, sometimes when God saves us and we're doing well, he says, beware when you're prospering and get wealthy, that you don't forget where it came from. Don't forget God. And see, a lot of people, they escape and get into the world, but then they do what God says. They walk in the way the people of the world walks. I don't know. I was watching the news yesterday or something, and they had this thing at Bethany where they had a line all the way down there because Kanye West was coming or whatever. And Bethany had rented this lot out there and had thousands of people expected or whatever.
Mm.
Here it is. One of the largest hip-hop mongols it is coming to Baton Rouge to Bethany. You remember I told you have to watch the churches in Baton Rouge? That's a trap. That's a line that you have to stay away from these churches.
Mm.
They align with the world. We know Bethany have always went the way of the world. See, God says, watch your alliances. That what we were studying in Isaiah. Watch what you align yourself up with.
Yes.
You can't sing the blues and hip-hop and rap and all this other stuff and Christian songs, too.
Mm.
See, therein lies the problem. You polluting yourself with the world. See, the world, that's a lucrative business now. Christianity is a lucrative business. It's a money. It says, walk in, not in the way of these people. So God's going to fight against the church because there's so many in the church that corrupted themselves. You can't tell the world from the church. If you'd have went out there, you probably would have seen people dressed and dancing to the music. It wouldn't have looked no different than it was if it was Saturday night disco. See, in other words, the spirit is not in the music there. The spirit of God is there. They have a form of godliness, but they're denying the power thereof. They're not keeping the sacredness of God there. They're profaning God by making it common and natural and everyday. That's why they went into captivity now, because they had profaned his Sabbath. That's why they stayed those 7 years, those seven, that time that they stayed, because they didn't keep the Sabbath day. That's why when they came back, the Pharisees were so strict about the Sabbath and Jesus keeping the Sabbath, because to Jeremiah says, you polluted my Sabbath now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's, you know, I could remember that, because when I was a child, 15, 16 years old, me and my boss man had an argument. You know, I was a different denomination, and he was explaining to me about the Sabbath. He wouldn't let me work on his job on Saturday. See, on the weekend, I would put on roofs or something. He said, don't come out here and work on my job on Saturday. That's my holy day. And me or him arguing, I was looking for him to go back and tell him, I understand now about the Sabbath.
Amen.
I understand now. See, but Gideon said, why is all this before? Where are the miracles? What's happening to the church? You know, we think about our parents and forefathers and everything. My father was able to work a job, have a house. He would buy a new car every few years, my stepfather. He had a Malibu, a Monte Carlo, or whatever. He would go pay cash for it.
Hmm.
My stepfather was like that. He had a house. Back then, the wife really wasn't working or whatever. Understand that?
Hmm.
And they were able to have, where is God today? Because now the wife working, the husband working, they never really see one another, and they don't have all these things. They're trying to pay for all these things and can't stay together. Don't we? Because you're not following God. God's not in it.
Yes.
See, you're going out and extending yourself in credit. You have in buying things that you don't need. You have so much. You're following the ways of the world. You're not living the ways of God. You think that, see, who did this to us, though? Did we do this to ourselves? You remember I said Gideon should have looked at himself? Look at your preachers. The preacher is the problem, and you following the preacher. The politician is the problem, and you follow. Because you follow that prosperity gospel, and when you talk about it's nothing wrong with it. No, it's not nothing wrong with being rich or being wealthy. But laboring to be wealthy is different. He says labor not for the bread that doesn't satisfy. Don't work for that. You working because God told you to work, and if you work, you should support your family. But see, you working to get rich, and that's the problem. Mm. Like what they sang and say, fit to sin, get rich or die trying or something.
Yeah.
See, you're not doing this to help others or do anything. You're doing it to consume it up on your own lust. You're doing it out of pride. You're doing it for other. You walking as the world, and they have introduced that into the church. Now the church is living just like the world, and your preachers have you comfortable living that way.
Mm.
Because he's took the scriptures and twisted the scriptures.
Yes.
He's twisted them to mean something that God didn't mean from the mean. And the blind is leading the blind, and they'll all fall in the ditch.
Yes.
2 Peter 2:17 talks about these false prophets. He says, these are whales without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. Of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. The latter end is worse with them than the beginning. But it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them according to the true proverb. The dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to a wallowing in the mire.
Yes.
In other words, by forgetting God, now you're working for money. You say, well, I've got to work two jobs. I'm paying my tithes and offerings. I'm sending it to the church. God is not interested in your money. He's interested in you being there. Are you there? Are you putting that example there?
Yeah.
You laboring after. I'm not just looking for your money. That's a side effect. But that's an effect for serving God. That Moses people, when they were bringing the money, Moses had to stop, tell them to stop bringing money. They was bringing too much money. See, but now the parents don't have enough time with the children, and the children are destroying and killing and doing all these things because there's no father in the home. He never sees the child. There's no mother in the home. She's ready to destroy or kill that child because there's no maternal attachment to that child. We said Gideon, a mighty man of valor. Now, it's a generic term now because there are women that are mighty women of valor. The words that they use when that only two women were described that way in the Bible. One was the virtuous woman in Proverbs. Amen. And you'll see that she was one that worked, one that provided for her home. And that when she took a job outside of the house, she made sure her job inside the house was done first. Yes. But hers was struggling of being a strong woman of courage in God. The other woman that this was typified of and said of was Ruth. She was the one that followed the instructions of her mother-in-law of the culture at that day in getting married to Boaz in the way, because she says she was leaving her gods, and she says, your God shall be my God. She took Ruth's God. So when you follow God, you have to follow the instructions of that God. See, but we have too many gods nowadays. You like the Samaritans, you want to serve the Lord God and those other gods. The other gods allow that. The rock and roll gods don't care what you do. There's crossover. You can do country and you can do pop. You can do all these two or three different things. But God says, I'm a jealous God. You serve me and me alone. You can't serve two or three other gods. It's an open culture, but God's not open. He sets the rules. A man and a woman get married, not a woman and a woman or a man and a man. Marriage is marriage. He sets those rules. But you can't be like the world. We can't bring that into the church, not as the world's doing. That's not a legitimate marriage. So we can't change God's holy days. We can't change anything that God has done. He say, I change not. Anybody add or take away from my word, they're going to spend the wrath of God. And he said he sent the Midianites because they had went away from God.
Yes.
Beware lest you forget God. You bring yourself into bondage when you forget God. He says, Deuteronomy, then beware lest you forget the Lord God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. It says, both here in the book of Acts, the children, he's talking about the children. He says, but God spoke in this way that his descendants would dwell in a foreign land, and they would bring them into bondage and oppress them for 400 years, and the nations to whom they will be in bondage, I will judge. We see our children serving the world. Right now, the very sons and daughters that you've reared up, sometimes they don't honor you. Sometimes when they're talking to you or whatever, you're talking around them or whatever, they're so disrespectful to the parents. You've raised that person, and you're doing all you can to provide for them as God did for them. The reason they're in bondage to the world because you can't get your head out of that telephone. You can't get your head away from pleasing the people or the things of the world. You're turning against the one that truly loves you for the ways of the world. You're acting like everybody else out there. But God's word, the God that I serve, your forefather says, honor thine parents that your days be long. That's why the blessings are not coming, because you're in bondage to the world. And that's why all these things are befalling you. That's why it's no miracles. That's why it's no power, because God's not going to allow his children to succeed walking the wrong way. He's not going to whip the devil's children, because it might be a purpose that he can use them to grow. But see, a lot of times we envious of our friends, parents and everything. But see, you don't know what kind of life that they're living or what God that they're living. So I might be cutting grass. I might be a low person. I might not have as much as they. I might not have as prestigious job or drive the vehicle. But that just doesn't give you a right to despise me as a parent or as a person. You see, that's why Gideon thought so low of himself. Maybe his children or maybe somebody else caused him to think that he wasn't important to God. Because look at here when it came up to God, when he said that. He said, and the Lord said unto him, go in this that might, and save Israel, 14th verse, thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites, have I not sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I'm the least of my father's house. Remember I said, how do you see yourself?
Yeah.
Now see, that's a good spirit to realize who you are, what you are. Because Moses said that himself when he was getting ready to go. He said that God had chose Moses and he was trying to find somebody else to go. He says that he stuttered. He had a stuttering problem or whatever. So we have to realize that we're nobody popular and that we can't do it of ourselves. And you'll get yourself in trouble if you thinking that you're so mighty, you know, and that's what we see today. People, like I was telling you about this guy that went down to sea yesterday and they was lining up to sea, because he seems as though he looks the part or that he is the part. But don't sell yourself short. Just because you're not famous or you're not like everybody else that the world loves, that's not who God chooses. When Samuel went down there to anoint the king, Samuel thought he couldn't find him because he didn't see anybody else looking kingly. One was tall, one was a good appearance, but he said, do you have any other children? Because God hadn't chose these. And they said, there's one little ruddy fellow that's out in the field or whatever.
Yeah.
Well, that was the one God's waiting on.
Yeah.
See, a lot of you go out there and get these trophy wives or go get these women that look like that, but they're not going to get up and cook your grits and eggs in the morning. They're not going to wake up and you go cook your dinner. You're going to have to buy it on the run. You're going to have to get pizza or something for dinner. You're not going to be able to wake them up at any time.
Mm-hmm.
See, we like that which looks good. In other words, the consuming on our own lust, our own pleasure. We want to preach. That's why I say the prosperity preachers have done it to you. You don't want to come to some backwoods church. That's what Jesus was. He was an itinerant preacher in which the women supported him, you know.
Yeah.
It was mostly women supporting his ministry. But see, nowadays the women support the ministry and the men, but they want some preacher in some slick Italian handmade suit, and they'll take all their money. God didn't bless them, but that Midianite come in there, and he take their substance, and they're buying him jets, Rolls Royces, and all these other things. They're looking at the building. You just go build a big edifice and see what the people come to the mega churches. You go put on a suit and tie, and you look like this, and look like they're going by looks. See, this world looks. It's everything. And see, that's what he was trying to get over to Gideon. I'm not interested in look. I'm trying to instill into you, you're a mighty man of valor. How do God see you? Just because you're fat, just because you stutter, just because you're poor, just because you have problems, that doesn't mean God see you. God see you as his son. He see you as his daughter. And so, don't sell yourself short. And Gideon sold himself short. But God put him through the paces here so that he wouldn't do these things. And when he called Gideon, Gideon couldn't believe this. And a lot of us can't believe what God's words say, and we're not following God's word.
Amen.
Now, when God called Gideon, the second point here, I better get on my horse here. When he called Gideon, Gideon really wasn't looking for the will of God. It's like a lot of us. We hadn't studied the word of God, and when God talks to us, instead of being a doer of the word God actually do give us, we're looking for some complicated thing to do, like Naaman. Naaman wanted to go wash in a beautiful river or something. He wanted to do something complicated. You know, people don't want to just come to church and do what God tells them to do. You want to get up and preach a sermon. You want to get up and just I don't know what you're looking for. You stumble over the word of God. Listen to what Gideon says in verse 7. He says, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor, and if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside them, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by my hand, as he had said. He put a fleece out. He tested God. You know that's, can you remember Ahaz? And he told Ahaz to ask for a sign, and Ahaz says he wouldn't tempt God.
Yeah.
You know, That is really through the scriptures where you shouldn't tempt God. That's what Jesus told the devil. It's written, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." You can't make God prove himself. You remember Satan says, "If thou be the Son of God, jump off that mountain, jump off the pinnacle, and God will save you." You can't put God to the test. Now, that's not the standard method. But, you know, if you some yahoo like Gideon, and God understand each and every one of us, Gideon was weak in faith. God deals with us through, like I say, he knows us personally. And that's why I tell you, remember he asked Ahaz, just ask for a sign and I'll give you a sign. And that sign was that a virgin shall conceive, a young woman shall bear a son and conceive. And he, Gideon asked for this. We don't normally test God by putting the fleece out. The fleece was too